This is a Triple J podcast.
On this episode of Simply the Jest, we pull the cord and hear your very best stories about public transport. You'll hear about phlegm, crashes, and quite a lot of vomit.
Completely exploded.
What?
Like the serial killer?
Yeah, the serial killer, yeah.
No!
Did you say you died?
Are you back from the dead?
What?
Are you a ghost?
I am back from the dead.
At what point did you realise you were swimming in the pool of one of the most famous musicians of all time?
Like, too late.
Is this a Ratatouille situation?
What?
Wow. Oh, here we go. Hello.
Hello.
Simply the Jest. Australia's best stories.
Hello there, Jessketeers, and welcome back to the podcast. My name's Lewis Hobber.
My name's Michael Hing.
And toot toot, I'm your little skipper, Jess Perkins.
Hey!
Hey!
Skipper, the little skipper!
Woo!
How are you this week, Perko?
I'm great. I mean, I'm with you, and that's all I've ever wanted.
Now, when you left your cupboard today to come to work, how did you get to work?
Well, the cupboard is at work.
Oh, is so it? Sorry, yeah, okay, canonically.
Canonically, yeah, surely. I'm not even like, where else would the cupboard be? I'm in one of your houses the whole time?
I think the cupboard is probably, just because the rent's so high and space is at such a premium here at the office, that maybe we keep your cupboard, you know, out of town, in a storage facility.
The cupboards are like a Kennard's or whatever.
Yeah.
So I have to catch
Perko at Kennard's.
I got to catch a bus.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Did you catch a bus to work today?
Yes, I did, from my cupboard, which is out in the hills.
In fact, I think what we should do is we should cut out two little leg holes at the bottom of your cupboard and two little hand holes so you can, when it comes to Wednesday, kick, kick, put your feet through the little holes, lift up the cupboard from the inside, and then without opening the cupboard, walk onto the bus.
So it's less of a cupboard and more of a box.
Yeah.
You're keeping me in a coffin.
The reason I asked how you got to work today.
Yeah, coffins have got a lid, Lewis. It's the same thing.
I feel like we're getting bogged down in some details I wasn't intended. I was asking, Perko, because today's Simply the Jest. It's all about stories from public transport. So we're talking buses, trains, coffins, taxis, ferries, helicopters, I guess, if they're public transport ones.
Yep.
Are you allowed to ride public transport by yourself, Perko?
No, I obviously need a chaperone. I've thrown up in nearly all of those that you listed, I reckon.
Yeah.
Probably out a couple. I've got to get this motion sickness looked into. But, look, I've been on a fair bit of public transport. Can I tell you one story? But it's a bit embarrassing. I was on a holiday in Thailand with a bunch of friends. There were seven of us. And we were taking an overnight train from Bangkok up into the hills in Chiang Mai. As we're booking the train, it was like two to a room. And one of the people on this holiday was my then boyfriend. And so we were sort of like, oh, overnight train.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, two to a room could get a little bit frisky.
Oh, yeah.
So that
if trains are rocking, you know.
Seriously, don't come in here, guys.
Yeah.
Don't.
Guys, don't come knocking.
No, don't.
The lock doesn't work.
It's not a very fancy train. So then we get to the train and we're all sort of hanging out in one room. But as it turns out, the rooms are actually sort of like, it's two little rooms together with a door in between to make it sort of one bigger room. Mm-hmm. And they're just bunk beds. And so our room is adjoining to two of our friends. And so we're all hanging out in this room because it's all open and we're playing cards and we're having a lovely time. And then it's time for bed and we can't exactly be like, okay, we're just going to close this adjoining door.
For no reason.
For no reason. Don't ask questions about it. Don't worry about it. So then just sort of went to bed, kind of like hope. I don't know what we were hoping.
That they would go to sleep first and then you could close the door.
I think that's what I was about to say, but I don't think that's true. I think we'd given up hope, but I was very disappointed.
Oh, because you wanted to, you know. Because you were keen to...
You wanted to do that, did you?
Oh, you actually...
Okay.
I've never met anyone who wanted to have sex before. With a long-term partner, you say.
A 21-year-old wanted to have sex today.
I've also had a bit of a swing and a miss on a train.
Yeah.
I was travelling...
I just want to pause and say, Perko, so many people travelling in groups. In fact, if you are travelling in a group and two people in that group are a couple, you are expecting them to fuck.
Surely.
So I think... You could have just closed the door and gone about your business.
Yeah. Or you could have just gone about your business and waited for them to close the door. You know?
Oh, that's true. Power play.
Be like, We're under the covers, you know.
You figure it out.
Good luck to you. I was traveling in Europe a couple of years ago. Oh, this is many years ago. This is in the pre-hum era. This is PH, I guess. before I was in with my now fiancé. And I was traveling through Europe. I was getting a train from, I think, Switzerland, an overnight train. I think it was one of those ones that went through the mountains and whatnot. Not a crazy one. I was traveling with a lady who I'd met at the hostel bar in Switzerland. And she was real cool. And I figured there was some sort of vibe because she invited me to go to France with her. And I was like, there's got to be something going on here. Come on. We're hanging out. And so we got
She's asking me to Paris. We're going to get engaged.
I mean, it's the city of love, Lewis. It's the city of love.
Why would anybody invite you to Paris if not to get on one knee?
So I guess there was a bit of a cultural blip because Swiss people are very forward and very direct. And I'm not that at all. I'm really beaten around the bush all the time. So we were in a two-door-room sleeper, a bunk bed situation. And I was trying to think of a cool way to ask her, hey, I think we've been having a fun time. Would you like to join me on the lower bunk? Also, now that I think about it, I think I should have pushed for the top bunk. I think I should have spoken up for myself and been like, I'd like the top bunk. But I didn't. Anyway. So
it's too late for you to start speaking up for yourself now, Michael. I think just go to your grave being that guy.
So she was sitting on her bunk and I was sitting on my bunk, the bottom bunk, and I turned up, looked up at her and said, hey, if you want to, you could share my bunk tonight if you like on my bit of the bed if you'd like to. And she was like, I don't think she understood that I was like fishing around for,
sure.
You know, she was like, why would I do that? And I was like, oh, no, just like if that bunk didn't feel safe, I guess. Or like for warmth or something maybe. And she was like, oh, no, these are very well designed. They're very well, like they're very strong. I sleep on these all the time, and it's actually very warm. I've got my sleeping bag, and I was like, and so I really shut down. And then we had like an 8-hour train trip or whatever for me to just like sit there thinking about that. Oh, she slept above me.
So I guess I do have some questions about what happened later because I am curious as to whether or not you just completely misread the vibe, which is quite possible, or you just weren't forward enough. Which is also possible. Did you eventually pull out the Michael Hing method and over a period of days, weeks, or months,
yes,
eventually, you know,
yes,
get to a point where you did actually
yes,
hook
so,
up?
So, yes, I did the very Michael Hing method of being good friends with someone for 4 to 6 weeks. And we ended up traveling around Europe and having a great time. And then towards the end, some romance blossomed.
Wow.
Yes. And I think, and then we just talked about it and she was like, yeah, I did not realize what you were saying when we were on that train. Because I guess also maybe you wouldn't expect that from me as well. You'd be like, he's just...
No, you being really unsmooth definitely is not the unexpected part. What has struck me as surprising is that it sounds like you were kind of winging it around Europe. That's... You know, like somebody was like, come to Paris. And you're like, okay. Like as if you didn't have plans booked in months in advance. That's amazing.
Well, the plan I had was an all-access pass on the U-Rail, you know? So I could catch as many trains as I wanted.
He was just riding the rails, baby.
I could catch a train a day. They can't stop me. They can't.
U-Rail making calls, being like, are you seeing this? He's on his 17th train this week.
Yeah, and I'll do 10 more. I don't care, U-Rail. I'll do what I want. I've got the all-access pass.
Put a call into Brussels. There's a guy from Australia sending us broke.
Anyway. Lewis, have you ever done it on a train?
Yep.
God damn it! Was it great?
Hang on. Yeah. No, key to it being great, was it an overnight sleeper or are we talking like a City Circle line?
Yeah, it was central to Redfern. I had 30 seconds and I had time to spare.
All right, shall we get into some stories?
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to hear a bunch of wonderful public transport stories today. Now, you know what? You're also going to hear the worst thing you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the worst thing you've ever heard, and it's the worst thing we've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And if we've heard it, you should have to hear it. So don't you look away. Liam from Surrey Hills, what's your public transport story?
So it's a ferry one for you guys. The brief setup is third date, neutral territory in the city, went well for dinner. decided to have a nightcap, bought a bottle of wine, second cheapest on the menu, as you do. She didn't like it, so I went, well, I've paid for it. I'm drinking the whole thing.
Oh, no.
One thing led to another. She goes, all right, it's time for me to head home. Next ferry's leaving soon. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll accompany on the ferry. Be a gentleman. It's one of the old ones because it's a few years ago. So it's the 40-minute ferry to Manly. Get out through the heads. Now, I don't usually get seasick, but it was pretty choppy, and I just sculled a bottle of cheap white wine. Next thing I knew, I'm hanging over the edge, very, very sick. Girl I've known for 3 dates is just rubbing my back, going, like, everything's fine. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. As we're coming into Manly, it's a packed wharf. I'm hanging over the edge, and I've just got people cheering, applauding, fucking like, applauding to Manly. Oh. Yeah. Get off. And she goes, thanks for the nice night. Here's a cab. Off you go home.
And no fourth date?
No, we're actually married now.
Oh!
Oh, in a way.
Yes!
Bonding.
Yes!
Did you recreate that lovely moment at your wedding?
I gave it a red hot go, but I got drinks taken out of her hand.
She's learnt. Well played. Kate in Sydney, what's your public transport story?
Hey, yeah, so I unfortunately suffer from chronic fatigue. So I have slept in many, many places.
Oh, okay. So where have you fallen asleep?
So, you know, easy things like Ubers and you just awkwardly get woken up or, you know, missing your train stop when you're on the train, having to rely heavily on alarms, to then fully disembarked aeroplanes.
That's so humiliating. Like, don't you think? Like me having the people going, "Hey, we're here. Everyone's gone." Oh.
The unfortunate thing is, it's happened that many times that I actually just have to tell a flight attendant anyway when I get on. So yeah, anyway, all the way up to falling asleep on the very tippy top of a sightseeing bus in London.
Oh, so like in the top of a double decker bus.
Yeah.
So missing the sights.
Exactly. That's right. Luckily, they're circuits, and I just kept on going around. So.
Between naps, it took 3 days, but you finally saw all the sights. Maddie in Brisbane, what's your public transport story?
Hi. So I was on the way home from work one day on the train, and I'm sitting in my carriage minding my own business, and I look through the little window into the carriage in front of me, and I see this guy stand up out of nowhere. He pulls his pants down, pants and undies, and he has very clearly pooped himself.
Oh.
So there's poop on his butt, in the undies, on his pants. Oh. He has a little look around. His pants are still down around his ankles, and he sits back down on the seat.
Oh, goodness gracious me.
Yeah. So I'm like, surely I'm seeing things. This isn't what's actually happening. And then I see everyone in that carriage around him slowly stand up and walk into my carriage to get away from the poop stains. And so that's the day I realised that, when people are a bit germphobic about trains and public transport, sometimes there's good reason.
Yeah. Have you considered maybe, like, I don't know, bringing a little train towel, you know, pulling out your train towel, sitting down on that?
Exactly, one of those little toilet paper covers. I think I need to bring one of those with me all the time now.
Oh, that's good. Nice.
Yeah, you never know what you're sitting in.
Yeah, or some sort of little bubble that you can zip yourself into and just live your whole life in it.
Yeah, just never leave the house.
Exactly.
Never leave the bubble.
Yeah.
James, what's your public transport story?
Hey, guys. So I was on the train. It was late at night, around 8:30 p.m. It's pretty quiet. The bloke comes on the train. And he sits down in the row just next to me, just in front of a lady that seems to be having a nap. Mm-hmm. Right, he's kind of snorting
was
and coughing.
Jess?
It was pretty.
I love to nap.
I don't think it was, no. Okay. I think you'd remember this if it was you, Jess.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
So the guy's kind of coughing and snorting. It's pretty gross. And he kind of hawks up some phlegm, sort of chokes on it and, like, coughs it up and accidentally spits it on the lady having a nap.
Oh, No, thank you.
No.
So it literally lands straight on her chest, and this guy just gets up and walks off and gets off at the next stop. And I'm in shock. Like, did I witness this really? And I'm kind of in this moral dilemma. Do I wake her up and let her know?
Like,
I don't know what to do. And while I'm sitting there kind of processing what the hell just happened, she wakes up from her nap. She notices this, like, goopy phlegm sitting on her sweater, and she must have thought it was hers because she slurps it up. I was internally screaming, I'm telling you. I'm looking around going, did anybody else witness this?
Oh,
Why did our producer put this through?
I nearly threw up. I still might, to be honest.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
James!
I would so happily have died never hearing that story.
James!
I can't believe you heard... Oh, I can't believe you saw that and you're able to go on living day to day.
Oh
my God.
Was this pre or post pandemic times?
Oh.
It was pre pandemic times, yeah.
Oh.
So no nothing.
I feel like I might spew.
Yeah, we need some time to recover. James, thank you for your call. I hate you deeply.
Oh my God.
Thanks, guys.
I can feel it. And I can see that you both feel it as well.
Yeah.
But where are you feeling it? Because for me, I'm feeling it on my chest. I'm feeling it like it's on me, right? But where are you, Poco? Where are you feeling it?
I'm feeling it like sternum. And I think the it that I'm feeling is my breakfast on its way back up.
Ugh.
That was disgusting. We've heard some truly horrifying stories.
Mm.
A lot of blood and bones and... And a lot of injured dicks, stuff that's made us really, really upset. That's genuinely the closest I've gotten to throwing up on air.
You're sort of cradling your mouth now, Lewis. Are you feeling it in your mouth?
It was in my mouth. You know when you're going to vomit and your mouth starts watering?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I had that. I had the watery mouth.
Yeah, I've got it now. Now that you've talked about watery mouth, now I've got it.
Sometimes because we do this, obviously we do a radio show, sometimes stories, they inspire talkback topics. What do you reckon about this? What have you slurped up?
Oh, nearly went again.
Your eyes are watering, Perko.
It's so gross. Oh.
What have you slurped up?
No.
Could be a soup. Could be a nice soup.
I hope it's a soup. If it's a soup, you can tell us the story. If it's anything else, please don't.
I feel like you guys have a real defeated sense around you.
Yeah, right? I do feel a bit crushed by the weight of that story.
Yeah, I'm upset.
All right, well, let's try and move on then. Coming up, you're going to hear, I would say, some very different stories, right, that are wholesome and nice and wonderful, and you'll also hear about quite a bit of vomit. Dylan from Melbourne, what is your public transport story?
Me and my mates were going to a footy game at Etihad Stadium, and one of my mates can't really control his bladder too well. So we went to the pub before, and he probably had one or two drinks. And anyway, so we're at the train. It was probably about a 40-minute train ride to the footy. And anyway, he actually really needed to go. So we were like, all right, well, we can't really stop. We're already running late to the footy. So he's going, well, let's go to the front of the train. So we went to the front of the train, and he looked at us and he goes, I really need to go. And we were all laughing. Anyway, he found this Samboy salt and vinegar shit packet. And he decided, well, this is going to be the place.
Mm.
So he started doing what he needed to do. And unfortunately, he misjudged how much was coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
Chipak's not very big.
Not big enough.
No, it's not big enough at all. And especially, you know, it wasn't a large one, like a jumbo size.
Right.
It's like the little...
It's a share pack situation.
He's got the vending machine at the station.
Exactly. So he found that, and pretty much midstream, the chip packet decided to break. And so, as you can imagine, there was all of his liquids, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
They were all flowing down the train, but he couldn't stop midstream, so we kind of had to keep going as well. So there was only a couple people on the train at that time, but then we all decided, well, let's get off the train. We don't want to be where the crime scene is.
Makes sense.
When people then were going on the train, it was a very busy train stop.
Yeah.
They all saw what was there and all smelled what was there. Some went in and then they just covered their nose and put their feet up so then they didn't get soggy socks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, a good tip, I guess, for the future, but not one I ever wanted to have to think about.
Jess in Tassie, what's your public transport story?
So I was working in a pub at the time, which was in the city, and I was living about 40 minutes out of the city. Being hospitality, we had to have our Christmas work dinner on a Sunday night. So my plan was to get picked up nice and early, be feeling nice and refreshed the next day. But about halfway through the night, my boss suggested that we had some empty hotel rooms upstairs. So he said a few of us could have a key to one of the rooms and stay the night. We didn't have to worry about trying to get home. Sounded like a great idea. Fast forward to the next morning, I wake up and I feel absolutely shocking. The only thing I have on me is this felt Santa hat that I'd somehow obtained throughout the night and my purse. So I get on a bus to get back home. The only bus is going to take about an hour. I'm sitting on there just feeling atrocious, like I'm going to throw up the whole time. I get to about 15 minutes from my stop and the vomit's just coming up. There's just no stopping it, none at all. The only thing I have with me is, of course, the felt Santa hat.
It's just not going to be waterproof, is it?
No, felt is not waterproof, I found out that day. Vomited straight into the Santa hat. At first it holds it for a little bit and then it kind of just starts dripping out the bottom and leaking.
Acting like a sieve, I guess, if you were looking for some positive. No chunks coming through the bottom. Like a muslin cloth.
No chunk.
Making yogurt or a cheesecloth.
Just a lot of liquid running down the aisle of the bus.
Oh. I mean, I don't know what we thought when we said public transport. Like, what else was it going to be? Shit and vomit.
There's got to be other stuff. Jess in Sydney, what is your public transport story?
My friends and I, when we were fresh 18, got the Manly Ferry into the city, and we each had a bottle of Passion Pop with us for a pre-drink. And so we took a seat, we were trying to be really sneaky drinking it, and then these two security guards walked up to us. And we were freaking out and they just said to us, excuse me, can you please follow us? And we're on the water by now, so we start following them and they ended up taking us upstairs to the captain's deck and they asked us if we wanted to finish drinking upstairs with the captain and the deckhands.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You got to the... I didn't even really think that the ferry had a captain's deck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to finish our bottle of Passion Pop while we were looking at the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Sydney Opera House.
Was it a fun
best
time?
View. It was probably one of the best nights of my life.
Wow. And did the captain start drinking some pop as well?
The captain didn't, but the deckhand definitely did. And he would message us all the time in a group chat being like, hey, girls, did you want to hang out again? And we were like, oh, probably not. Yeah.
Maybe if the captain texted, but not the deckhand.
That's so funny. He's just like, he's found this group of girlfriends. And he's like, this is the best. Yeah. Hang out with the girls.
It's Sex in the City. We're all drinking Passion Pop out in the harbour. Sylvia in Pasco Vale, what is your public transport story?
Hey, guys. Mine definitely does not involve bodily fluids. So it stays there. Mine involved a helicopter crash, actually. Everyone walked away okay. Everybody on board was fine. So I was in Geelong with my mum, and we were about to go on one of those scenic flights around the coast.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
And we'd been prepped and debriefed, and we're ready to go. And the previous flight was coming back in, and it was about to land and it missed the marina and landed in the water.
Ooh.
And started like banging up against the rocks.
Oh.
Yeah. And so a couple of like random nearby boats came to the rescue, and eventually like the Coast Guard or whatever came and got everybody off. But the helicopter was struggling to take off again, and it was kind of just like spinning around in circles and couldn't take off. And then everybody on the, like, behind the barrier where we were was, like, asking us questions, like, do you know what happened? And we were like, no, we don't work here. We're just trying to have a good day. Like,
whoa.
Leave us alone. But the girls who were working there, they just were like, we don't know what to do. So they called their boss. Their boss comes down. He's like, yeah, no worries. Goes and gets the second helicopter. Oh. But they just had, like, a backup in a shed somewhere and a new pilot.
Oh.
And eventually they got the other helicopter flying away, took the pilot to go and get medically assessed, and so, we went on the other helicopter.
Oh, you went up?
Oh, my God.
So you just witnessed a crash.
You saw a helicopter crash and then thought, give me one of those.
Absolutely. No, we still went on, 100%.
I mean, you already paid for it at that point.
No, but surely they'd refund at that point.
Yeah, they definitely gave us a refund.
And you still went?
Yeah, we still went. It was fine. It was actually really cool.
Do you think, I mean, in your mind, be like, oh, well, lightning won't strike twice. Like, they'll be hyper-vigilant today.
Pretty much.
Smart.
Yeah.
What are the chances?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Still crazy.
Oh, my
still
God.
Crazy you, to me that you did that.
Would you have gone up, Perko?
No!
Michael? I would have said, hey, can I fly it? You know?
Oh, great. Yeah, let's guarantee two crashes in a day.
let me get me behind the wheel. Or the stick, or whatever.
Were you not, like, you couldn't just go back tomorrow or something? Take a moment?
It was a Sunday, and they only did it on the weekends.
Huh. Yeah. Still,
wow.
Is it worth your life to see the, whatever, Great Ocean Road from above?
Still.
I'm still here.
She's still here.
Two.
Look at the scoreboard, Lewis. Look at the scoreboard. She's still here.
Obviously, pretty gutted to hear that that happened in Geelong. I know we had a great Geelong story last week about the singer of Thirsty Merc. And now I think that painted Geelong in a good light. Mm. I don't like this helicopter crash.
Yeah, have either of you ever been in a helicopter?
Never.
I have.
Damn.
I've done like a scenic flight along the Great Ocean Road, like at the 12 Apostles.
Damn.
Years and years and years ago. Remember, I think I've told you because the pilot was texting.
Yeah,
oh, that's right. Like, how do you even get reception up here?
Yeah, but if I'd just seen one of their helicopters crash, I wouldn't be like, when is it my turn? You know, like I'd be like, I think I've got, my phone's ringing. I've got to go. I'm sorry. You know?
Were you on this helicopter ride with your boyfriend when you were 21, Perko? And did you try and get amorous?
Did not try to get amorous, no.
The other odd thing that they mentioned is the backup pilot in that story.
Yeah.
And there is a part of me that was like, was the backup pilot involved?
You think it was an inside job?
Oh,
well, you're throwing accusations around already.
All I'm saying is the backup pilot isn't getting paid until number one pilot goes down.
Interesting. Well, look, lest we get sued, we must move on. And you know what, actually, friends, it is time now for a very exciting segment of the show. We're doing our
bonus
caller. Bonus caller. Yes, this is a caller we weren't able to put live to air on radio because maybe it was potentially not something that Australia was ready to hear.
And considering that we did put that James story to air, it could be something.
Yes. So our bonus caller today is Sam from Adelaide. G'day, Sam. What is your public transport story?
Hi, guys. So I was going home from school one day, waiting for the bus, straight to the back seat because that's where all the cool people sit.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. And driving along, I'm thinking, oh, this, it's nice and warm here on top of the motor. And then I'm thinking, oh, you know, the vibration's getting a little bit intense. So I thought, oh, I'm going to run with this.
Oh,
and
lean in.
Crossed my legs. Ooh. And about 30 seconds later had the most intense orgasm I've ever had in my life.
Jeez.
Wow.
Was it a school bus or a public bus?
No, a public bus, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Goodness gracious me.
Wow.
And you haven't had better since?
No, not.
Wow.
It's the best orgasm I've ever had in my life. So,
I'll tell you what,
I know you,
$1.80 or whatever a bus ticket costs.
Yeah. I said, I know you probably didn't want any more bodily fluid stories about public transport, but I couldn't help myself. You know?
Well, no, you really couldn't help yourself. Goodness.
I couldn't stop it if I tried.
So I guess, Sam, I imagine, it's hard for me to imagine this situation because obviously different operating systems, but if I could imagine a world where that would become quite an, I don't know about addiction, but certainly a welcome place to be.
Yeah, well, let me just say it started a path.
What do you?
Oh, wow.
What do you? Can I? Dare I ask? What do you mean?
Well, oh my gosh, how do I even? So it started a path of, you know, this is amazing.
Right. Yeah. Of course.
Right. Not like. Hey, I got to go catch the bus again.
Oh no, I tried.
Oh, you could never chase the dragon.
Oh, that's a white whale.
No. I tried again, and it just
didn't hit.
And, you know, I had to catch the bus to and from school every day for years and just could not replicate.
Anytime anybody else is sitting in that seat, she's like, get out!
Yeah.
That's Sam's spot!
Your parents must have been so bewildered. They're like, Sam is so excited to go to school every morning. Something must have really changed.
But she comes home so disappointed. Something must be happening at school.
Yeah, no, and I actually wasn't a cool kid, so it must have looked weird sitting on the back of the bus.
Yeah.
So, like, I think you were the only one thinking that, to be honest.
Probably everyone else was like, yeah, I've sat on that seat. Good for you.
Get it, girl.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for the call.
No worries.
Incredible stuff from Sam there. Because I catch the bus quite a bit at the moment.
Oh, yeah?
And I will be casting my eyes around the bus now. Just like looking into people's eyes going, is it you? Are you? How much fun are we all having? Just in case, you know? And not that I'll know, but, you know, now that that's a possibility, you got to keep that on your mind.
Do you have to keep it on your mind?
Are you telling me you're not going to have that on your mind?
Nah, I think just
really?
You. Yeah.
You're just going to get on a bus and be like, oh, yeah, nah, no way. I can just forget about the fact that that there are seats that are giving people orgasms around here.
A little better than just sitting there going, is it you? Like you're some cum police.
I'm not trying to encourage it or discourage it. I'm just curious.
I just want to know.
Lewis going door to door. Open up. It's the cum police. We've got a warrant.
I don't want to encourage or discourage. I'm just curious.
How does it work? How does it work?
How is everyone doing it?
I've sat in a lot of bus seats, gang, and I've never had that experience.
Nah.
Imagine chasing that dragon for so long, though.
Yeah.
You know? I'm still hoping to have a good one.
See, I'm not harking back to yesteryear. Thinking,
you don't know what you're missing. I'm on my way to paradise. You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You know, each one more powerful than the last. If these trends continue, by the time I'm 60, I'll be full on bliss all the time, baby.
You're like a blue chip stock, just slowly increasing in value. She was a unicorn.
Is this too much? I don't know.
It's hard to say.
I hate it and I love it.
Well, I think the only way we can end this is by Perko doing her job and picking a winner for today.
Oh, look, I mean, we heard some great stories and thank you to Sam at the end there for something that wasn't piss or shit or vomit related. Really appreciate that. A bit of a change of pace there. But look, I don't like this story. I don't ever want to hear it again, but it was by far the story that got the most reaction out of us and our stomachs and mouths. My mouth is watering just talking now. But it's got to go to James from Melbourne for a horrifying story about the train. And that is why James is simply the jest for this week.
Oh, no, yeah, like phlegm slurp, that's got to win. Phlegm slurp has got to win.
What's wrong with you?
Congratulations to James. You win a big red sticker that says I was the best on Simply the Jest. You also win a golden ham chain carrying courtesy of Hobber & Hing Incorporated. Oh my goodness. Perko, thank you so much for joining us this week. And thank you to everyone who called in with their stories. Before we go, Lewis, has anyone left any reviews for us?
They certainly have. A lot of the minimum 5 stars. Thank you to everyone. Yes. And a lot of people using the star emoji to outwit Apple Podcasts at their own game. And also, you know what? I looked for the first time at our Spotify reviews. You can't leave a written review, but the stars are high.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cavalcade of stars. So thank you everyone to everyone doing that as well on Spotify. But this is for one of the written reviews. The person's name is Bonus Laura.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that great? The title is Dev Patel's Favorite Podcast.
Oh, this is off the back of the story where I saw Dev Patel at the at the front of a shop and then I shaking around.
Yeah, and then I tell my story about bumping into Dev Patel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is what Bonus Laura writes. I saw Dev Patel walking his dog in North Adelaide last year, and judging by the amount he was laughing and smiling, I can only assume he was listening to Simply the Jest.
Yes.
A beautiful man with incredible taste in comedy and piss stories.
Hey, we love you, Laura. We love Dev Patel. We love stories.
Free to keep telling us where you've seen Dev Patel. Don't go and find him.
No.
Don't make it weird.
Just if you've seen him, get in touch at Not Hobber and Hing Official.
Next week, we have a very special edition of Simply the Jest. Hingers and I are on holiday. So we are presenting to you the live edition of Simply the Jest with Jess Perkins from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, a sold-out show at the Town Hall. Incredible comedic guests, Chris Parker, Jordan Barr, and Michelle Brazier. They were all so wonderful. We had a great time.
And as is tradition, the live show topic at the Comedy Festival was crime. So fans of crime or crime stories, I guess it's a true crime podcast in many ways. This is the moment we become serial, everyone. Get on board.
Big thanks to our producers this week, Anne Carter, Nick Gerber, and Lou Hill. And we'll catch you next week.
She slurps it up.
Hey, it's San Ro. If you're enjoying Simply the Jest, then I reckon you might like Bang On. It's a podcast with me and the legendary Miff Warhurst, banging on about the week of music, pop culture, life, fashion, and stuff. Bang On the ABC Listen app and wherever you get your podcasts.